What's up? This is Jeffrey Way with the Lyrica Snippet, and today we're talking about protecting your bassline. So for the last few weeks, I've been in the process of moving. Not to a new state or a new town, I'm moving about 5 miles away to a home much cheaper. But the interesting thing is, about a year and a half ago, I just moved into my current home. So why am I uprooting my family? I have a 5-month-old right now. Why do we want to deal with this? Well, because I think that last move, I made a mistake, and I want to talk to you about why. If you're a working developer, chances are high that your income is either quite good or it's growing by the year. It's one of the benefits of doing a job that, to be frank, we're patting ourselves on the back here a little bit, but let's just be honest, most people are not willing to do or don't know how to do. If you're anything like me, and I guarantee you are, you've spent hundreds and hundreds of hours working at this. And even after all of that study, you're still painfully aware of how much you don't know and how much you feel like an imposter. But nonetheless, the perk is you probably have a good income, or if you're entry level, your income's going to be growing and growing over the next 5 years. And if it's not, be careful. Don't be too loyal to companies. Look, if we're being honest, they're not going to be loyal to you in the huge majority of cases. So if you do find opportunities to, after a few years, move over here and increase your income a good bit, don't let loyalty keep you from doing that. But now, the focal point of this podcast is, if your income is growing, my advice from personal experience is be very careful and protective of your baseline. Now, your baseline would be everything from where you live and how nice of a home you have, how nice the clothing you wear is, what kind of car you drive, and how expensive it is. These all contribute to what I'm calling your baseline. I don't know if that's a thing. I'm just calling it your baseline, your base standard of living. Now, what ends up happening, though, is as people get older, and generally as you age, at least to a point, your income goes up, up, up. Now, what ends up happening in the majority of cases, and you probably don't even realize it's happening because it's very slow, but what ends up happening is that baseline of yours, your standard of living, just keeps growing. So maybe 1 year, your income goes up $5,000 or $10,000 for the year, that you're making more than the previous year. Well, be careful that in response to that, you don't just increase your standard of living by $10,000. Because then what happens is you never, ever get ahead. Yes, you may have a nicer car than you did before, but who cares about that? At the end of the day, you're still basically in the exact same financial position as your former self. Now imagine a few years go by and you're making 30 grand more. Maybe you've doubled your income. Well, again, what so often happens, I mean, this is a textbook thing you hear about over and over, is, well, now you can afford to get the nicer home. Now you can afford to have a nicer car, and now maybe your spouse's older car can be upgraded to a new car. And now you have payments here and here, and then you have a larger house payment, but that's okay because you can now afford it because your income's growing. But once again, if you break it all down, your financial situation hasn't necessarily improved that much. Yeah, you might have a nicer home, and that may grow in value, but it's not guaranteed to. In this climate, you just don't know. And think about it. It's not all bells and whistles. Just because you buy a nicer home doesn't mean your happiness level goes up even a little bit. And in fact, it might actually end up going down. Because great, you were able to have a larger home. You want to celebrate that you're doing well at your job. You can buy a bigger home. But now you're having to furnish it. So you're having to go to the store and buy more rugs and more decor and more things just to fill up this room that you're probably not going to use. And not just that, your property taxes will go up. Your energy bills will go up. If you have a larger yard, you're either going to have to spend all of that time mowing and edging yourself, or you're going to have to pay a company to do it. So there's another fee that you'll be spending every single month. So again, you were thinking, well, I'm doing well at my job. We can have a nicer home. What's the problem with that? And then again, you find, well, it doesn't necessarily make you happier. One of my favorite people to listen to, Derek Sivers, if you could put anything on a billboard, what would it say? And he said he would write, "It won't make you happy." And genuinely, I think about that all of the time. these days. It won't, because it doesn't. From personal experience, it will not make you happy. You think it will, but it's just going to introduce more complexity into your life. Just as with code for any long-standing project, you're constantly in this state of managing complexity and doing whatever you can to just simplify the code base and get back to something a little bit more manageable. The exact same thing is going to be true in real life. Sometimes, I don't know if you pick up on this, but for me, sometimes I feel like I'm constantly trying to get back to simple. It's almost like if you've ever gone to Vegas and played roulette or something. The first few rounds are fun, but I think most people agree, like the huge bulk of your time, you're just trying to have a couple spins so you can get out of the negative and you can go home. And I'm almost 34, and I've definitely picked up on that. To the point that, especially in the last year, I'm constantly asking myself, will this complicate your life or simplify it? Will this add more things you have to worry about and consider and sign up for? And if so, do I really want to introduce that into my life? So what happened was a year and a half ago, I moved to Florida from Chattanooga. It was a fairly big move for my family. And we thought as part of that, okay, well, we're leaving friends, we're leaving family. This is a big, dramatic deal for us. Why don't we get a nicer home than we normally would? We're kind of isolated. It's a scary thing. At least we have something exciting to look forward to. But what ended up happening after we moved is, I'm not lying to you, I started feeling stress and anxiety. And it wasn't, I'm trying to think how to phrase this without coming across as a jerk, because I promise you that's not my intention. It wasn't a money thing. It wasn't this home's too expensive, we're drowning. It wasn't that at all, but it was more the weight of everything that would give me genuine anxiety at night that my life was becoming too complicated. And again, like I said, it's the little things. It's like, oh, we have a slightly bigger home. Well, now we need to buy more lamps. We need a rug. We need side tables. We need all of these things. And you keep buying and buying to populate this larger home when you're still using the same small portion of it. And this is what happens. When I had my small one-bedroom, 400-square-foot apartment, you stay in that one little living room, and when you get a bigger place, you still kind of congregate in this one little area, your main living area. So what ends up happening is you're paying money to go to stores to buy stuff to fill and populate a room that you're probably never going to use more than a couple times. And meanwhile, in the process, the bigger home didn't make you happier, because why would it? Why would we have it in our head that that provides any form of validation whatsoever? It doesn't. So meanwhile, your property taxes are going up, your expenses are going up, your energy bills are going up, your maintenance bills are going up. And most importantly, you're not any happier at all than you were in your small apartment. So about 8 months ago, I set my wife down, my pregnant wife, we'll talk about that in a minute, and I told her that this place is literally giving me anxiety at night where I can't fall asleep and I feel it in my chest. And even though we can afford it, I feel like I'm bleeding money on things that are indulgent and don't matter and won't make us happier. And trust me, having a conversation that you want to move and cut your lifestyle in half with a third trimester pregnant wife is not the most enjoyable thing to do. At this stage of a pregnancy, women are very much in this nesting phase. It's kind of amazing to see, actually. It just happens automatically, but they need to have everything ready. So then when the husband comes in and says, hey, I want to uproot our lives and buy something smaller and put our house on the market and spend a month moving, it doesn't necessarily go over very well. But to her credit, she got on board eventually and agreed that you have to, again, protect your baseline. And our baseline, as part of this move, because we were afraid and because we were leaving our family and everything we knew, we bumped up the baseline incorrectly. And these days, I try to be very, very protective and aware of when that happens. Because when you bump up that baseline, it sets your new standard for everything. And the natural inclination for all of us is to constantly increase that baseline. A really common example of this is medical doctors. You hear about this all the time. Because they have to spend so many years, I think it's like 6 to 10 years in some cases, But what often happens is once they officially become doctors and all of a sudden they have six-figure paycheck every year, what so often happens is they buy a really nice house, they buy a BMW to blend in with all of the other doctors there, and you can see immediately how that baseline takes a huge leap. But then if you could look at their finances, they're not necessarily better off than the person in the apartment anymore. It's just their items that they pay for are much higher, but it's not making them happier. I believe the research shows up until, I can't remember the exact number, but it's something like $70,000 or $80,000 a year. The more you push toward that number, it will make you happier, for obvious reasons. But beyond that point, the data, as I understand it, doesn't seem to show any increase in happiness levels at all. The more someone feels sheltered and safe and secure, of course, your happiness levels will go up. But beyond that, everything above it is just nicer materials that won't make you happy. Like, do any of us actually think a gold Apple Watch will help your state of mind at all? No.